just take this computer.
Okay.
When you get that done, can you do the same thing with these?
Oh, my goodness. You don't get paid enough, do you?
Hey, remember that, Andy.
All right, we'll call our meeting back to order. Stephanie, come on up. We're glad to have you on board.
Thank you.
Sit right in front of that microphone.
Okay.
By the way, Stephanie, thanks for coming to breakfast today.
Thank you for breakfast. It was very nice. So I'm going to give you all one of these.
Okay.
So I'm Stephanie Lund, the new county nurse manager for public health. Started at the beginning of January. So,
thank you, Stephanie.
Yep, my card so that you guys can contact me if you need to. And then this little card that gives our services.
Thank you very much.
And then looking at our pamphlet that gives the services, it's a little bit. It gives all of our services. The only thing that's not listed on there is that we also provide STD testing now.
Hmm.
For chlamydia, gonorrhea, and syphilis are the only ones that aren't on there. So we're going to update that, but everything else is on there. So before I got this position, I was a nurse at public health for about 4.5 years. So I know our office, no public health, went down and worked the Marvelton Clinic. We have a Marvelton Clinic on Tuesdays. That was kind of one of my projects when I was a regular staff nurse. I loved going down there. I kind of feel like I know the county pretty well, so I'm glad to be in this position and be able to help keep our programs going, and I'm hoping to just keep furthering those programs and getting the word out for, you know, so everybody knows what we do, and hopefully get more people in our doors on both ends of the county. Along with our STD testing, we have a new nurse that replaced me. She started the end of August, and so the STD program is kind of one of her main projects. And so she has made signs and put them around town, and they have those little pull slips, you know, that you can pull off, and it says Sublette County Public Health and with our phone number. And so she's been following those, and
so what's
slips
STD
are disappearing.
Stand for?
Sexually transmitted diseases.
Okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So we just want to get the word out there that we provide that screening for the public, and they can get vouchers off the NoYO system. That's part of the state system. It's just an online. They can go to the NoYO website and get a voucher that pays for the testing, basically.
What's the website, Seth?
It's noyo.org.
N-O?
K-N-O-W-Y-O.
Okay, NoYO.
NoYO.org.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now, when you do the hepatitis B and C screening, that goes to the state. Is there a charge to the clients then? Or does
so
the state do those?
If it's somebody that has a risk factor that they need to be tested because they're at risk for some reason, if they think they possibly have you know, they're screening for a reason, they can get the NoYO voucher to pay for it. Otherwise, there is a charge from the lab. But
yes,
that voucher pays the state lab.
Does being a baby boomer classify as a risk factor? I mean, that's the move.
I think
nationally.
So now, because that is kind of the move towards,
yeah,
right? I mean, they're saying, mm-hmm, recommending.
All baby boomers should,
right,
be tested for hep C.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right.
There's also a little check box on your application. Did you attend Woodstock?
Does that mean us old people that they're talking about?
Well, I'm not sure if you're out of that baby boomer category or not, but yeah, that's what they're talking about.
So Tom and I don't qualify.
You qualify.
Yeah, yeah, Tom.
Tom may not, but you do. That's good to know, because we are screening more.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's a blood draw for those things. We send it with the courier down to Cheyenne. They get it the next day at the state lab, and then a few days later we have results and we call the person and say your results.
So you take care of that?
Yep.
And if there's any reportable deals, you take care of that as well?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. And then we've also talked to the jail about if they have somebody who's symptomatic, that we could test those people, because then that it would just save the county money as a whole, because it's a lot less expensive.
You bet.
Just to do the
yesterday.
Testing through our... Did you? So anyway, that's kind of the program we've been working on lately. I've also been looking into our phone system. Apparently, if our phone system dies, it's dead and gone. When the museum got their new system, ours died shortly after, I guess, like in October, and they had a cord that they fixed our phone system with. So, I don't know. That's what CenturyLink tells me. So I've just been researching and looking into it. What's the new system? What's the, how much does it cost? And I haven't gotten any real answers yet, but when I do, I'll let you guys know.
Mary is painfully aware of this whole situation. She's intimately related in this one. So.
I have spent a number of hours recently.
So
I think part of the deal is that we're being told the same thing.
Yeah.
And our system is huge.
Yeah.
And I think I've decided I don't want to be the phone expert in accounting, but I'm learning a lot.
Too late.
But I think we do need to get someone in our maintenance department tuned up
to
on
get
telephones.
Yeah.
So you're not a phone expert either. Mm-hmm. I got stuff to do. I know you do too.
Yeah.
But I think we need to, if we're getting ready to do a big change, we need to get our stuff together instead of, I mean, because
we need to do it all together.
Yeah, because we can call CenturyLink and they'll be happy to hook us up. But
But for
the low, low price
money.
And a lot of money. So I think we need to, you know, need to figure it out.
Tom,
as well,
you
want to
chat with Andre?
I will.
Yeah.
About phone guy.
I had a conversation with the union. Remember the union? That guy Keith called me. They're bringing fiber this summer, to the best of their knowledge and everything. So that would give us another option in the future, possibly.
Okay.
I don't know if that's an option.
This trashy service is affecting so many entities. We do need some kind of coordinated effort. I mean, we have the problem with the extension office. We got the county facilities. Now we have this. It's just, it seems like it just exists everywhere, and we're kind of spinning our wheels on figuring out how to address the problem.
Well, I think the problem, you know, starts out with is that those of us baby boomers used to call up the phone company, and if you had a phone issue, they came and brought equipment, and they fixed it, and that was all part of the deal. Well, that's, you know, went away a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
They don't come and fix you. You figure out what kind of equipment you need, and I know I'm not a phone expert on what kind of equipment I need and what kind of service. You know, you don't go down and buy a residential phone to service a office with four lines coming in and all those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
But where do we get that equipment at? And where do we buy equipment that's going to service us? Are we on Amazon, or are we, you know, how do we do that? We went through the phone thing with the county attorney's office. Cost us a lot of money because we had CenturyLink go in and put them together for $19,000 for a small office. We've got, and that office would be, you know, I mean, pretty similar to what Stephanie's office is as far as what service is going to be required. So it's, you know, it's, we need to figure it out.
I'd like to backtrack a little on Andre's idea. Possibly Mike Christie would be a better option.
You know, I was thinking about that also. Mike has got a lot on his plate, and he's a one-man show. So if there is somebody in maintenance that can ask for Mike's opinion and Mike's help.
Part of the deal that happens, too, with phones is there's a lot electricity, you know. An electrician guy might be a better fit figuring out the service and that kind of stuff.
Do we want to, just me, someone would put a timeline on their learning experience? We mean, we can't just say, hope you learn.
Well, we may have to send somebody off somewhere.
That's what I'm
for
saying.
Some
so,
kind of training or something.
Right.
To
we need to,
Mr.
Come
Chairman,
up.
I have a deal going right now that we might be able to break this thing in. I'm having a conference call with CenturyLink tomorrow.
Okay.
To talk about the extensions. So.
Why don't you ask Andre to talk with Mary?
Yeah.
Can you give me a time?
Yeah.
Or do you want to just coordinate that with Andre yourself?
So I can coordinate with Andre. I'll just call Andre and have him come.
Okay. I'm learning.
Done. Exactly.
See what you got started now?
Yeah, I know. Well, I just don't want to wait till now it's an emergency.
We're having real issues with
that. Now we have a huge problem.
Yeah,
you know.
And we're learning that it's not all CenturyLink. It's just lack of knowledge on our part in some cases. So.
Antiquated equipment also.
It's a compiled effort is what it has to be.
Well, and the other thing of it is we have a whole pile of phones.
Mm-hmm.
Of our own, you know, and it's like, so is CenturyLink, you know, we've got phones.
If you have any issues, we can cannibalize some of these other
we'll
phones
other
and
things.
Systems
yeah, okay.
that we've got.
Okay. Yeah.
And Stephanie, yeah. I just had two other questions. And not to put you on the spot, you may know it, may not. On the Prevnar 13,
mm-hmm.
what is the general cost of that to the public outright? I know because they don't do those at the clinic. It's all through
right.
public health.
So I want to say $185, and that's kind of a guess, but I'm thinking $185 or $190.
Okay, and those people have to pay at the time of service?
Yes, but Medicare covers it. If
it
they
does.
Have Medicare A and B, we can bill, and that will be covered.
But if they have just A, then it probably doesn't.
Right, right.
And private insurance doesn't pay for that at all?
I think some of them probably do. I just think that most people get it after 65 and they have Medicare. So then it's, you know, we just know Medicare covers it. But I think that most private insurances would cover it.
Okay, and that's not, you know, you can't get a, can you get a voucher for that?
No.
Okay. And then the last question, and I'll leave you alone.
Okay.
Do you offer any assistance in terms of blood draw for the Marlton Health Fair?
Yes.
You do?
We go down. So we contact Tanya and just say, hey, we have this
Good.
Many nurses. If you
Great.
Want us, we can help you draw. And I think we've drawn, I don't know if we drew last year, but we drew, I mean, yeah, if she needs us, we go.
Good.
Yep.
Okay. Thank
yep.
you.
Yeah. How do you guys want me to communicate with you? How often do you want me to come here and report? What
yeah.
what do you guys need from me?
You know, you feel free to contact any of us at any time.
Okay.
But really, unless there's a change that you want us to be aware of or something that we need to know about, you really don't need to schedule to come see us.
Okay. Okay. The new contract will come in the spring, so then I'll
there you go.
Come with that. But.
We'll probably chat a little bit. I don't know. It might be good just to touch bases with us pre-budget.
Okay.
Right, Mary?
Yeah. Okay. So your contract usually comes before we get into the budget.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Okay.
Okay.
Joel, do you know if any of those bills in the House last week when they were going to cut funding from public health, how that's going to impact
yes,
that?
Stephanie and I were talking about that this morning at breakfast, and there is a part of the budget bill was a reduction in the funding for grants that would help in these cases, but and Stephanie understands that better than I do, but the bottom line is we didn't get that money here anyway.
Right.
So
it's for the MCH grant, so which is maternal child health.
Okay.
And it's the state's portion of that grant, and they want to decrease funding for that. So we don't take the grant money to run our MCH program.
Okay. So
we
won't be
always,
impacted.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
But the bottom line, it was an item that came out from WCCA, that email, and it will be, from looking at the responses, I think it's going to be a priority
mm-hmm.
for Pete to try and keep that money, get it restored through an amendment to the budget bill. That seemed to be kind of a fall on your sword kind of a thing for the message back to him.
Mm-hmm.
So even though it didn't affect us, a lot of counties are impacted
yeah.
and they're
right.
concerned about it. So.
Yeah, a lot of counties use that money to pay nurses for
right.
that program.
If I'm not mistaken, it was over $400,000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Yep.
Good.
Great.
So
anything
you guys
further,
have anything
gentlemen,
else?
For Stephanie.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Yeah.
Glad you're here, Stephanie.
Thank you.
Okay, Justin, come on up, Hard.
How are you?
Yeah, right there in front of the microphone.
How are you, gentlemen, this morning?
Good.
Hi, well, thank you.
Okay, got information for each of you.
Okay.
This will just kind of cover the whole program in its entirety. It's a brief overview. If you wanted to read through the whole thing, it'd take probably about 10 minutes to get through. But I will run through the highlights for you. So I came on board with Jay here to work for New York Life. And we're trying to get in front of different business entities, school, the county, the town, to offer this program. And this program is called Employee Whole Life Insurance. And so the way it kind of works is you guys already offer life insurance for your employees. I believe the last updated information that I had on it, it's roughly $50,000 per employee. So this would be a program that we would use to supplement that insurance. It doesn't cost you, the employer, anything. Basically, the participation that we would need from you would be a payroll deduction. So it would just deduct automatically for your employees. But the way that this is different than what you already offer is it's a it's whole life insurance. I don't know if you guys know much about whole life insurance, but the difference between term and whole life is term, especially through an employer, it's offered to the employees year to year. Sometimes the price goes up to the employer, sometimes it doesn't. But the big thing is when the employee retires, sometimes it's portable and they can take it with them. If they do have that option, the price goes up to whatever their age and their insurability is. And so the prices can sometimes go really high and get really ridiculous. The advantage to whole life, and not only with that, but with term, eventually either it becomes too expensive to afford or the term ends, and then if they're not insurable again, they're not eligible for the insurance. So the benefit of the whole life is it'll cover them for their entire life from the day that they start making the payments. As long as they continue to pay the premiums, then they will be allowed to have the coverage. Wouldn't matter if they died tomorrow or they died at 110. It would be guaranteed to pay out. They would lock in at the group rate, and the rate would never change for them. Whole life is also eligible. It has a percentage that New York Life pays every year. And so it grows a cash value as well. Currently, we're offering a guaranteed 4% with the option of dividends. New York Life being a mutual company, we pay our dividends every year. We're not allowed to guarantee those dividends, but we've been paying them for 161 years now. We haven't missed a payment yet. And that's currently at, it's maintaining a current high right now. Most companies have had to drop this last year. We're maintaining it at another roughly 6.15, somewhere in there, for this year. And so that's kind of the way the whole life program works. Now, as far as benefits, I have this handy chart that's kind of the wheel that hits all the main high points. The biggest one being that if an employee ever left here to work for another place, they have the option to take it with them. And keep that rate for the rest of their life. The next point, like I said, has a lifetime of protection. Another really big, kind of huge part of this is the fact that it is available to the spouse, to the children, as far as down to the grandchildren, if you wanted to buy a policy on them. And so it's kind of a big deal to be able to offer it to people. And so because we offer it to the employers, we have two different options that you guys would be able to decide between. We offered it on a simplified issue or a guaranteed issue. you, I'm not sure exactly how many employees you guys have. I know it's over 50.
250?
Yeah. Okay. I figured it was, I knew it was something over 200.
Yeah, with rural health care and everybody.
Yeah.
160 for general account.
Okay.
So anything over 50, you're eligible as an employer for the guaranteed issue. The difference between the guaranteed issue and the simplified issue. Guaranteed issue, the employee is eligible for up to $100,000 worth of coverage. Spouse, children, grandchildren are able to get up to $25,000. With a simplified issue, with the guaranteed issue, there's no medical questions or underwriting. It's just guaranteed. So if a person is completely uninsurable, they can still get this coverage. Or if they have, you know, a child who was born with something as simple as diabetes that requires insulin, you know, they're not generally considered eligible for life insurance through most companies. This would give them the option to be able to have access to that coverage. That would be the guaranteed issue. The simplified issue, they would answer a series of 10 questions. There is no medical underwriting or blood or anything like that. They would just answer these 10 medical questions to make sure that there wasn't some major risk to the company. With simplified issue, they're eligible for up to $150,000, and spouse, children, grandchildren are eligible for up to $50,000. And so the next point on here being the convenient payments through payroll deduction, that just makes it easy on the employee. It just comes out automatically every month. They don't have to look at it. They don't have to worry about it. I know I'm getting ahead of myself on this. With the no medical exams, and then another big one being the access to the cash value through the policy loans, which rolls with the next point about ability earned dividends. So the way we would work this out is you guys would be able to choose how the dividends pay out. Generally, we would advise that they roll into what we call purchasing paid up additions. Their cash value will grow at a much faster rate. Each dividend would buy a little more coverage. So let's say they had $10,000 worth of coverage, the next year they would have just a little bit more coverage. It grows over time that their death benefit would grow, or they can access that cash value at any time. There's as a loan from that policy, and they would there is no paperwork or anything like that. They just call us, they have access to that cash value at any time. So, am I missing anything?
The big difference between the guaranteed issue and the simplified is guaranteed they have an open enrollment period up front for employees. Each year when it's offered to them, new employees can pick it up, but if they missed it the year before, then they can't get back on the guaranteed one.
Yeah, we would come back and offer them a simplified issue, but they, on a guaranteed issue, if they turn it down the first time, they're never eligible again for guaranteed issue. They would have to take their chances with a simplified issue. So,
you know, the simplified issue they can get on any time during the year. The guaranteed, you have to do it during that open enrollment period. So.
Okay. And there's also a slight price difference for the employee between the guaranteed and the simplified. You know, New York Life would be taking on a little more risk just to guarantee it, so therefore the price reflects that. But it's you know, there's not a huge difference between the two, but there is a difference. So I guess also in that second packet of information in the back there, we also talk about riders, which are enhancements to the policy that we give an option. You guys, again, would choose those. The riders, one of them being accidental death benefit, that it would pay out, it would double the payout if somebody died from an accident. It wouldn't necessarily have to be work-related, just any accidental death. Up until age 70, they would pay accidental death. Another one would be the children's insurance rider, which if you have a whole life policy on your child, you may or may not need this, but it's an additional term rider on the children, that if you had a family and you wanted additional coverage, it'd just be a term rider on top of that that would last until the child was 25. The waiver of premium is kind of one that we really push because of the fact that New York Life says that if you became disabled for any reason and couldn't make your payments on your policy, New York Life, because you have that rider on there, would make your payments until either you're able to pay them again, or they would just buy out the policy and give it to the client. And so it's kind of the only self-completing part of the plan that if somebody got into it, became disabled, doesn't really have money coming in through anywhere else except for their disability insurance, which you guys offer, they would be able to still have this. The cash value would still build, or yes, cash value would still build, and the policy would stay in force. Two riders that New York Life automatically throws on is the living benefits rider, which means that if you were diagnosed as terminally ill and were given 12 months or less to live, you would have a partial access to those benefits, the death payout before you died, if you wanted to take a vacation, take care of some debts, whatever, spend time with the family. You would have that option. That comes automatically with the policy. We would have to apply for it, but it does, it's at no additional cost. And then the other one being what we call the SPPO, which is the spousal purchase policy purchase option. And that is if that does automatically come on without any application, that if the spouse were to die and then New York Life would offer to the living spouse the option to be able to buy a paid-up policy without any proof of insurability. And so it would just be able to continue on that to the spouse, that if they needed a policy for whatever reason, they would be able to continue on that legacy. So I believe
that... Any other place that kicks in, if there were a simultaneous event where both parents died at the same time, then New York Life would actually purchase that policy automatically on that individual. So where the beneficiary would actually receive
two payouts.
So
if they had, let's say, the $100,000 worth of coverage and they both died in the same accident, then they would buy out on the other one and pay out additional, but more than the $100,000. So, and that comes automatically through New York Life. So,
and then there was something you were going to mention. New York Life starting a disability year.
Oh, right. And then kind of at the end here, New York Life is just starting this year, got into the group term game, and so we would like to request to be able to put together a quote for you guys. New York Life has offered to either match or beat any price out there right now, and if you guys wouldn't mind, we'd like to put together a quote for you guys to see if maybe we can get you a better term package as well in addition to this.
Absolutely. Go ahead and put that together.
Okay.
That'd be just fine. Any comments, gentlemen, for
Justin? I'm kind of in the process of taking it under consideration and thinking about it.
So we'll take this under advisement. Just want to reiterate what I heard in the beginning, that there is no cost to the employer.
The only cost that may incur is whatever cost it would take to pay somebody to put it under payroll deduction. That's it.
Right.
The admin.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. Very good. Feel free to put together any type of proposal.
Okay.
And then we will take it under advisement.
Okay. Perfect. I just wanted to present this to you guys. I was born and raised here, and I know that budgets are getting cut and stuff, and if we can help offer something comparable or advantageous to your employees, then we would love to be able to do that for you. So
we'd like
all right.
too.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
What's your timeline as far as presenting that next packet?
Well, I will probably have to get together with Mary to fill out the paperwork. Then New York Life will go through the consideration to make sure that we're not taking on some huge risk, which we would have to do the same with this program. I would say we could come back in a month at the latest.
Okay.
You know, it'll probably be sooner, but sometimes New York Life gets logged down and they get a bunch of these all at once. So.
Okay.
That'll be fine.
So I will call you and set up a meeting that we can fill out that paperwork.
Thank you.
Sounds good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Enjoy the rest of your day.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Sooner rather than later with Mac.
And if you want this information, have any questions, my card is in there. Call myself or Jay.
All right. Thanks, Dustin.
Thank you very much.
Yep.
Appreciate it.
See you.
Okay, Jay. Sheriff Lear, come on up.
Good morning. Again?
How are you?
I'm well, thanks.
Good.
Well, again, I'll be short this morning, so.
Go ahead.
Good morning. All right, thank you again. I had two things this morning, but we already got one out of the way. I wanted to introduce you guys to some of our local law enforcement and our partners in the federal agencies. And so thank you for
thanks for doing that.
Meeting this morning.
Yeah.
It was good to meet the new lieutenant. We've got a lot of new faces and I think some really good people, and look forward to working with them. And we have a really good open communication, and I think that's important moving forward in light of some of the bills that are, you know, being passed and looked into. And we definitely need to keep those lines open. So thank you again. The second thing I just wanted to make you aware, especially the new commissioners, Joel and Andy, you probably already are aware, but we have a detective with the Sublette County Sheriff's Office, Travis Lanning, and he has one of the few bomb detection dogs in the state. This dog was purchased under Sheriff Lankford through a grant through Wyoming Office of Homeland Security. They paid for the dog for the initial training, and then the sheriff's office is responsible for continued training and certification. Last Thursday, on the 2nd, Warland High School had a bomb threat, and the region contacted Detective Lanning and asked for his dog. He responded and was very beneficial in assisting them with clearing the school and also the suspect's home at the time. He's becoming more credible, and with that, he is being requested a lot more too. So I wanted to make you aware that any of these calls that he's gone on, and he's helped with the McMurray funeral in Casper, the Supreme Court justices when they come to Jackson, he does the security sweeps for Bill Clinton, House Speaker Ryan, Cheney, anyone that would come. The closest, he's one of eight in the state, the closest being Lander, the next dog, and that individual just received that dog, so he is not certified yet to respond, and thus that's why we're getting called across the state. So what Detective Lanning does is he contacts the regional directive of the emergency response team, and sends him his time, if he accrues any meals, housing expenses, anything like that, and then they will cut the county a check, and then it goes back in to cover for his wages.
So to the general fund, and then you write a check back?
No.
How's that work?
We, in those cases, Travis goes and he's on our payroll, he has expenses, whatever, he submits that to Homeland Security, and then it reimburses the sheriff's office budget to pay for his wages if he's got overtime or whatever is involved with that and those expenses. So the county gets it. The county's providing it basically for free. We have the trained detective here. We support the dog, but the dog purchase and training to us was significant.
Yes.
And we're the only dog on this side of the mountains.
Right.
So, and have only at the time. They didn't even, Lander's like a brand new deal. There wasn't any kind of a bomb dog. We have drug dogs, but we don't, a bomb dog was a big deal.
Right.
And considering the situation with explosives now.
So, as you're going through the budget, if you come across some of these expenses, I think just that the Supreme Court Chief Justice in Jackson was $2,600. But again, that was all reimbursed back to the county. So, just to make you guys aware.
Those highlighted.
When you see the items for the expensive dog food, that's the one.
That's
what breed of dog is it?
So it's a Belgian Malinois.
Belgian.
Malinois.
Malinois.
Am I pronouncing that correct? I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wojtek. Yeah, it's W-O-J-T-E-K. Wojtek. But again, I mean, he is highly regarded across the state, and he's even been asked to go down into Colorado to assist with some of the governors and the, you know, state security.
Have you went that far?
And he has. I have not.
Well, yeah.
But yeah. But we're really happy to have him. Both Washakie County and Warland have already contacted me personally and said, you know, thank you very much. I mean, just they were very appreciative because. You know, Landers is new. They couldn't get Lander. Casper's wasn't able to certify. Natrona County's wasn't able to certify. So we were the next in line, and Travis rushed over there. And again, it was very beneficial to have the dog. So,
just from out of curiosity, where did the dog come from? Where do they train that dog? I'm just curious.
And that's I'm not sure exactly.
Just if that was somewhere like.
I'm sure that the...
Oh, it's like Kansas or something.
Kansas.
Yeah. I know.
Not in Wyoming.
It's
no.
And there's...
And he's got his annual training, I'm sure.
He has to recertify annually. Yeah.
Where's that at?
That can be in different places. So that he goes down to Colorado or Salt Lake City. It depends. So we try to pick the one that's closest because we're fronting that cost. But he can go anywhere around the nation for recertification.
Perfect. I think it's great.
Yeah. Okay. Other than that, Mary, the only other thing I know, CenturyLink, trying to contact people. I don't know how this is. Dave found this from back in April.
Okay.
So it actually has names with contact numbers on there. I don't know if it's changed since April, but
okay.
If that'll help you out, because we went through the same.
I have a new friend in Boise that we're just bonding over this stuff.
Okay.
I don't know. It's
seems to be the new buzzword of the day.
Yes.
CenturyLink.
CenturyLink, huh? All right. Do you guys have any questions, any concerns from the public that you're hearing? I know there's some bills that are kind of scaring some people right now. They still, we're just kind of waiting. They still have to make it either through the House or through the Senate and then the governor before they become law. But. You know, I've heard from a lot of ranchers concerning the livestock investigator going away and becoming, you know, falling underneath the sheriff. I'm just letting him know that, yeah, we're prepared. We know the state statutes. I mean, we can, if that happens, we can do it, but it's going to require, you know, an additional person and more training. And that, you know, that'd pretty much be it, so...
I think the main thing there is to have a good communication with the brand inspectors.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
And,
we already do. You know, Mike Vickery. You know, the other two that are local, and so we, No, we keep in close contact with them, and
For some reason, it didn't seem to be a big concern in the stock growers, and the livestock industry seemed to think if. Brand inspectors are working pretty good in most cases with local law enforcement anyway.
Right.
And so there wasn't a lot of, or at least I didn't see there was a lot of fuss over that.
Right.
It wasn't a heavy caseload either for the investigators.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Right. Yeah. When, I mean, our local one, you know, Ken Richardson, I know we just worked with him on the sheep issue down in Boulder. So. That was the most recent.
Now they still have one available in the state, don't they?
Yes.
That can go wherever he's
right.
Needed.
Yeah. So, yeah. Well, if there's nothing else, that's all I had. So.
Great. Thank you, Sheriff.
Thank you,
Sheriff.
Thank you guys.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Thanks for this morning.
Thank you guys. Yeah. No.
All right. Why don't we pay a few bills, gentlemen, and then we can start into old business.
Get the old stamp out.
This might be something if we're going to look into this. Maybe we need to put out an RFP and see if somebody else is over there providing similar.
I guess you'd have, yeah.
It'd be fair to everybody.
Yeah.
And we might get in trouble.
Yeah, I think it was advertised.
Somebody else or not.
Yeah,
there could
at least
be.
Say you advertised it.
Yeah.
So Mary, last month on that Title 25, was that a one incident that remember that thing sent down for 10 years?
As far as I can go.
No. Good, we just saved the county last week. You guys taking up all the spaces here.
We need you.
There's one. Oh, okay. Sure.
I don't have a whole lot of these vouchers left. So
we just got to find a spot to stamp them.
Find a spot.
Yeah.
A spot.
I can stamp mine across where I have it. That'd be good.
I'll probably tell you that when we're still here.
Pulled a Jim out of there. I stamped the first one with the cover on.
Yeah. I got the cover off, but I usually am upside down for the first one. But that don't look right.
It's running around. To do it.
Mike's making me nervous. He's not back with my telephone.
Commissioner Rawhauser, can you multitask with old business?
Yes, I can.
Okay, why don't you start?
I spoke with Jay at the fairgrounds, and other than snow and more snow and more snow, everything is going pretty well. This thing with the eclipse, he's working with the town of Warbleton and with the town of Big Piney to see what they're going to come up with. And when they have that meeting, they said they would give me a call, and I'll go to that meeting with the three entities to see what their plans are at the fairgrounds. But other than that, everything is going pretty well there. And trying to add more things. I think they have a bull sale coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And
That on weekend of Valentine's Day, I think.
Yes, and the problem was is they had where the bulls were going to go in the stalls, they were struggling getting the stall out to be able to get the straw or hay inside there.
Gotcha.
He said everything's moving smoothly.
Cool.
So, no worries.
Very nice. Anything further, Commissioner Ron?
No.
Thank you. Commissioner Nolden.
Aye. We pretty much covered our meeting with Ron at the dump that Doc and I had. I have to commend Ron on that. Him and Ryan had that worked out previous to getting there, mostly. They just need approval. I have some other concerns, which I don't think we need to worry about until we get to budget.
Okay. Very good. Anything further? Do you want to report on our meeting with the chamber the other morning?
Oh.
So Tom and I attended the chamber's strategic planning meeting the other morning.
Okay. I think they were just trying to gather some intel for their own direction.
Yeah.
Mostly.
That's how I saw it.
Let's see if that's CenturyLink.
I think it went well for them. It seemed to me the unanimous
goes with this one.
Concern was pick a project and move forward.
Is that one too?
Is what I got from.
Oh, there's two.
Yeah. Did you just stay for that first hour? You didn't stay for the rest of the day?
They kind of wanted everybody leave, and then they hashed through that last on their own.
Right, they went through the rest of that. So I hadn't heard any report on what went on the rest of the morning.
No.
Okay.
Cirque is having a meeting this Thursday at 6.
Yeah, Thursday night. I've got that on my schedule. That's the Cirque meeting, their strategic planning meeting. Thursday night.
We had a lot of conversation.
Yeah. Okay. I made a suggestion that to the Chamber of Commerce that they look into combining those two again, and I'll make that suggestion again Thursday night.
You know, they have an outline of a plan on the shelf.
Mm-hmm.
And they could agree to take that off the shelf and see what do we need to do to move forward on it.
Yeah.
Might be the win-win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would say that I had that conversation with Tammy Carlson. And quite a few people in there. Rather than having two entities parallel themselves.
Yeah.
Join forces and pick something to move forward.
And what two entities come up?
CERC and the Chamber. And they seem pretty open-minded to that, with the exception.
Yeah. So Tom and I will attend that Thursday night then.
My attendance, that may be brief. I have
That's fine.
Teachers.
I'm open that night, so I can stay for the whole meeting.
Okay.
No biggie. Is that it, Commissioner Noble?
Mr. Commissioner, I have one more thing.
Go right ahead.
To the WPLI meeting the other morning BLM office, and listen to a man. Joe, can you tell me his name? Who was the facilitator?
Steve Smutko.
Steve Smutko. Yeah.
One of the more interesting and organized, ran a meeting like I've never seen before, in keeping everybody focused on what they were supposed to do and getting things done. Very, very impressed with him. He knew what he was doing in terms of keeping everybody on task and moving forward to what that group is trying to do. And very difficult because of the subject.
Yeah.
But
I think we're making progress.
Cool. That Ruckels House Institute is pretty good at doing that sort of thing.
Which in Mac's conversation leads to that other one, funding of all that. I think I'll let Joel take that.
Okay.
Let's go with Commissioner Burnett, and then I'll turn it over to you, Joel.
All right. I just echoing what Tom said, we had a good meeting with Ron out at the landfill last Thursday. Went very well. In addition, I did send an email to Laura Clark telling her that we would be postponing the scheduled meeting for February 4th until we heard from our owner's rep, Todd Hurd. And I made a phone call to Mark Cross, giving him the same information.
Very good.
And that's all
I will chat about that this afternoon.
Yeah.
Very good. Excellent.
So with Todd.
Yeah, with Todd.
Right.
Anything further, Commissioner Burnett?
No, sir.
Okay. Commissioner Bowser.
Since Tom brought it up, let's talk about the WPLI first. They had, at their last meeting, they kind of put together what they think is going to be a need for some funding. Bart sent us the email.
Right.
And
Bart was going to come in and talk to you guys, too.
Do we want to wait for Bart?
I can go get him.
Let's do that.
While
you're getting him, I'll talk about other stuff.
How am I going to keep track of that if you're going to talk while I'm going?
Well, then I won't.
Bart did want me to put it in this conversation.
Well, why don't you wait to get Bart till he's finished?
Okay.
Let's do that.
Tell
him we'll need him eventually.
You get my phone, too?
The WCCA funded this trip, by the way, but last week I made a quick trip to Denver to attend an Endangered Species Act workshop with the Western governors. Talked about listing, delisting, critical habitat. I was there officially representing WIR, but the issue, especially with critical habitat designation, is the need to do an economic analysis, because that can have tremendous cost to the local counties, to the custom and cultural communities and all that. Steve Smutko actually was there facilitating that as well on behalf of the Western Governors. So that tells you a little bit about his reputation.
Yeah.
That's all I need to say about that. Planning 2.0. That's being addressed today in the House of Representatives. There's a Liz Cheney introduced a bill that would use the Congressional Review Act to actually overturn Planning 2.0.
Cool.
I was on a call yesterday with her and the House Natural Resource Committee. Of course, we don't have to worry about lobbying in Wyoming because she introduced a bill anyway. The result of that was a quick email out to all the WIR states asking them to contact their representative and request that they support that bill. Also on Planning 2.0, and I don't know if this is a result of the fact that bill's been introduced or not, but BLM has requested that the WIR participate with them in doing a webinar on Planning 2.0 for all the Western states, counties, and I obligated to help make introductions. That's Thursday, so I won't be able to go to the CLG meeting in Cameron, but we've arranged for Tom and Matt to both go in with the Conservation District. They're going to take one meeting with Mike and Darrell, so we've got that covered. House Bill 242, that's the one we... John McKinley helped write it. It had to do with tax liens.
Yeah.
And we're not sure what it got through the House.
Yeah.
It's in the President of the Senate's cubby hole right now, waiting for him to determine if he's going to release it to the Revenue Committee for discussion in the Senate. Where there was some talk, Mary and I talked to John McKinley some last week, and for a while it looked like I was going to need to make a flying trip to Cheyenne to talk to Eli Bebout.
Right.
I didn't do that. We figured out there is more time on that, and I think my next step is to talk to President of WCCA and Pete, and see, get some feedback from them. And it's a little bit politically touchy.
Yeah.
The bankers is where the opposition is.
Absolutely.
It's more of the bankers than it is industry, by the way.
Right.
And in my mind, it's pretty simple. Why do we have to take a backseat of a tax lien to a bank?
Right.
This is a public, it's in the public interest.
Right.
It's also in the state's interest because of the state's average tax is the same situation as our county ad valorem tax. So,
right.
So anyway, I'll be visiting with Pete and probably John some more this week and see if Ogden Driscoll, who was a sponsor of the bill in the House, was yet to talk to Eli to try and encourage him.
But he was going to talk to him.
He was going to talk to him.
Okay.
And see if he can talk him into at least put it out to the committee. Let him talk about it.
Right.
Yeah, because it's not been assigned to committee.
It hasn't been assigned to committee. And if it doesn't get there by a certain point, it's dead. Mm. So that's a way to kill it if they so choose.
Hmm.
So that's
kind of in Bebow's hands, right?
Yeah, it's in his hands.
I sent an email to Mark Cross.
Christensen.
I never heard back. I'm not sure my email came on. Just to touch base with him and see if we could join forces in any way to help that along. But I have not heard back from him. So
it was Campbell County who made the decision to move forward with introducing it. John and Albert were both of the opinion that maybe we needed to take a little more time and try and do something that would alleviate the bankers' concern. And so they have kind of made the decision not to move it this session, and then Campbell County decided to move it. So that's how it got to that point.
Interesting.
So, And I don't know if Campbell County Commissioners, if they've talked to Senator Bebout or not. So that's something that's still kind of out there.
Okay.
In terms of the upcoming Forest Collaborative on the 17th, the Forest Service would like to invite all of the commissioners to breakfast that morning at 7:30 at the conference room in the Pinedale Ranger District here in Pinedale. And the Forest Soup will be there. Trish O'Connor will be there. And she'd just kind of like to update all the new commissioners on what that process is about.
What date is that, Joel?
17th. The 17th.
This month.
This month.
The day after our meeting.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So the 7:30 at the...
7:30 at the Forest Service office in Pinedale. Okay. Whoever can make it. Okay. Mac and I will both be attending the meeting that day. Okay. And then that same day, Thomas got a call on the WPLI with Bart that afternoon. So
okay.
That's ongoing. I think that covers everything I had, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, let's go with WPLI then, with Bart now.
We were talking, Bart, about the funding, proposed funding and the idea that we need to obligate some money to a budget to fund what your discussion was. So why don't you bring us up to speed on what that's about?
Okay, I sent the email out last week with the updated cost proposal from Steve Smucco for his facilitation services, and that's significantly less than it was. I can't remember the first time I brought it to the commissioners, right, but several months ago.
Right.
And then in addition to that, there was also a request for, there's going to be a panel presentation March 8th with representatives from other states who have went through a similar process, which has actually resulted in successful legislation. And I emailed the background information on those presenters, and I think they've all accepted the invitation. And there would be expenses, travel expenses involved, and the discussion was they wouldn't even pay the going rate and mileage, just reimburse them for gas, lodging, and meals for the day they would be here.
Okay.
And I guess that's it. I guess, Mary, it would require, I think, some type of formal decision to fund those two.
So do
items.
We have my thought after looking at that email and a question for you, Bart. If we allocate $5,000, do you think we're covered that way? It doesn't mean we have to spend it.
I think that absolutely gets us through this budget year.
Okay.
And then it can be revisited July 1st and maybe have a better sense of where they're at in the process,
yeah,
how much longer it's going to go.
If we need more in next year's budget.
Yes.
Those presenters, by the way, the one lady from Oahe County, Brenda Richards, I served with her on the Public Land Steering Committee in NACO, and she's the county treasurer in Oahe,
yep,
County, and she led on behalf of that county that effort to address wilderness study areas in that county, and it was a successful effort, and I think it's well worth it to have those folks come here and say this is how we made it work.
And they found the panel presentation by the BLM and Forest Service very helpful. So
at this point, where can we draw that money from, Mary?
Yeah, that was my question.
Yeah.
I think the other concern was is the money was available from somewhere else, but they didn't want to give the impression that they were leading the group.
Now, give me that one more time.
Go ahead, Bart.
Currently, Steve Smucco is being paid by the Wilderness Society, Pew Charitable Trust, and I think the concern is that they don't want it to appear that the Wilderness Society has undue authority or power,
right,
over the committee. With that said, I did talk to Dan Smitherman since I sent that email out the end of last week.
Mm-hmm.
And for the presenters, I'm not sure how this works. His thought was the Wilderness Society would go ahead and pay them, so they had their money up front. were faster than the county could get it to them, and then the county could reimburse the Wilderness Society. No, I'm thinking we would want to reimburse the presenters directly the same as
we can't
defeats the whole purpose.
We can't do that.
And by the way, it takes very little time. We pay every 2 weeks.
Yep. No, I made that point, but Dan was pretty adamant, and I told him I would get back to him after this.
One thing I've been pretty adamant about is we do not create the impression that the Wyoming Wilderness Society is
driving
this train. It's a county-driven train.
Or even speaking on our behalf.
Absolutely.
It kind of shows that.
I know we've kind of ruffled some feathers.
Well, and I think the committee picked up on that, Commissioner Noble and Rawhauser at last week's meeting, but that was a concern of theirs, too, with the Wilderness Society going ahead and paying the presenters. They didn't want that impression.
So I guess the question goes back to Mary.
Mary.
What do we need to do to set up a little fund and a budget for that?
In the commissioner's fund, we have a line item for consultants, which
we've used,
which we're $27,000 overspent right now, because we've bought a few consultants, mostly to deal with the health care issue is where that money is at. $19,000 of that was the survey that we did with ERG on healthcare. So it's quite a bit of that. And that's another thing for another discussion, I would imagine, if we launch into doing more healthcare or not, to get those cost centers all in the same place. However, your total budget is underspent. We could take that money out of that consultation line item, because we've got other line items in there that we've underspent, like our attorney consulting, hired consulting attorneys.
And then can we make it a balanced budget transfer at a certain point?
If you guys decide today that you want to go ahead and participate and fund those expenses, I can make that adjustment when I, because I'll adjust the budget within like March. I'm adjusting the budget in March to get ready for budget workshops the 1st of April.
And that's what I would recommend that we do, but we also put a limit on it just so that we don't get carried away.
Well, if we have it in our budget, then we can control that money, as opposed to giving $5,000 to someone, and we can control the money and keep track.
But also, if we say there's only $5,000 available, then the people aren't looking at that and saying, oh, well, there's money in that budget. We can do this, we can do that.
We had those discussions. I think they're pretty aware of the money's not just out there.
So, Mr. Chairman, with that discussion, I move we authorize Mary to allocate $5,000 to a budget that would reimburse and help fund this effort.
At temporarily out of the commissioner's budget, and then make a budget at another point. Okay. Any second?
I second.
Been moved and seconded that we authorize the county clerk to put a budget together for WPLI not to exceed $5,000. Any further discussion?
Does that meet what you think we need to do, Bart?
Absolutely, and then it'll be just like any other county employee, right? They submit their invoices and vouchers
and they give
parameters. And I'll help them out with the vouchers and making sure everything's in order before I get it to you.
Yeah, because I just need receipts.
Too much to ask, because this is over my head. I haven't been involved. How the WPLI is formally empowered in the decision-making process? I know you said they work successfully in the past with other states, but is there some... I mean, I guess I need to understand
I can answer that question, Bart. The way that process is designed is this committee will make recommendations to us as a board of county commissioners, and assuming that, and we have the we can tweak them. If we don't agree, we can send it back to the committee for more study. If we think there's something that wasn't covered that should have been, then we make the recommendation through the Wyoming County Commissioners Association and the Governor's Office to our congressman. And then they take our recommendation and the recommendations from all the other boards of commissioners that are involved in this, and they craft a Wyoming wilderness bill for Congress. And then, of course, once it's introduced, it's up for grabs again as far as amendments, just like any other bill in the congressional process. But the goal is to have this be a ground-level driven set of recommendations that is truly collaborative. That's why including all the interest groups, including the Wilderness Society, that's why they're at the table. And the idea is to craft legislation that's supportable in the House and the Senate. And our legislators seem to think in today's world, if we're ever going to be successful at addressing these WSAs, that's the only possible way that it'll ever get through.
Create a wilderness, Congress is the only people that can do it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So having the background to go speak before the Congress, if, say, the Lake Mountain came up, you've got the background, you have the people that have studied it, and you've got everything locally to say it either should be wilderness or it shouldn't be wilderness.
Well, yeah, you and have the local input.
You have the local input.
That's right.
That explains it.
Yeah. The governor's office will also retain the whatever you call it to review it and make, say, if they want to go to the senators and say, hey, we like this, but this one out of this county, you know, we stay long, we won't buy off on that.
Sure.
They have that prerogative if they choose to.
Okay. Motion is on the table. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thanks, Bart.
Rachel, did you have something for us?
Will you call Mike in and tell him, just inform him what we did, because I had some conversation that we may run this through the district and do it a different way rather than have our own budget.
And I talked to him yesterday.
Okay.
I did as well. He was in my office.
Yeah, he was in yesterday morning. So I think he's squared on how it's going to work. This was approved.
Okay. Yeah.
And I'll send the whole committee an email and let them know.
All right. Perfect. Sounds good, Bart. Thank you. Rachel, you have something for us?
I was told you guys might talk about internet. I think you received that contract from Albert with Joe Sharkey. Then you know if you're going to discuss that.
I probably should have brought that up in old business.
Yeah, well, it's still old business.
All right, let me bring the
joint.
All right.
I think that was, I don't recall where I got that contract from, or who was one of the emails.
We got an email
from Albert,
and Elena was on it too. Because
right.
Remember when we did all the, Albert did the public meetings, Elena was going to get some funding from the business council or something. There's a little bit of funding attached, like what, $2,000?
A couple thousand.
I think.
So, Sharkey has put together a list of information that he would compile for us for a specific price, which is $24,000, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I guess my first thoughts, the information he's going to compile would be very useful in this wideband conversation we're trying to improve. Albert feels the same way. He's strongly that we should move forward on this. My feelings are, I don't believe this is just a county situation. The town should all pitch in. All three of them.
Partners.
Big Piney, Pinedale.
We need some more partners on that.
In conversation with Matt Murdock, he said Pinedale's behind it. So if we could split the cost four ways, I would probably support this. But I don't know. That's That's kind of where I
stand. So we're looking at about $24,000 for this project.
Well, minus the two that we're going to get. So we're talking 22.
Was that a minimal amount?
I think so.
I don't remember. Matt, I
think there's a few things in the contract I'd like to address. I mean, it was $24,000.
It was like an RFP. It was
for detail. Yeah, it was going to be something we could follow through on and make some decisions. That's about all I know. So it kind of just boils down to we need to meet with the towns.
Yeah.
And see if they'll back us.
Yeah.
In that.
So could, Tom, could you meet officially with Pinedale?
Mm-hmm.
And Doc and Mac, would you officially meet with Big Piney and Marbleton?
Mm-hmm. Probably.
On this.
If Mary could, I have the contract still, but.
Yeah, let me get you copies.
Yeah, please do.
Let's
so we can
get the contract so you can have it.
Right.
Okay.
Because that's my question: is for this amount of money, what do we get?
Right.
It was pretty involved.
It's all outlined in.
Well, is a suggestion too to try to get equal representation. In other words, if there's six entities, I mean, not counting the business council, trying to split it equal partnership. Is that what we're going to be requesting of the towns?
I think that'd be ideal because the population lies in the towns.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not enormous, but I think the balance on that is 22,000. And we'd be talking Marbleton, Big Piney, Pinedale commissioners.
Mm-hmm. In the county.
Well, so that's us.
Yeah, so. Yeah, you're looking at about what?
5,500
bucks an entity, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So. I agree with Andy. If you want to compile your response, I'll get this town. It sounds like Pinedale's a go.
Get us a copy of that so we can make sure we have the hardcore numbers and what we're presenting.
I can do that.
I think community-wide, it's a good way to move forward and try and
The whole conversation starting place been crappy service. Hopefully this will.
And basically what we get out of this is a proposal, or is it
a
just information?
Jump in anytime. A very detailed sheet of what we currently have.
Yeah.
And what we're lacking.
What we're lacking and where we should go.
Okay. Where we have to go from
here. And that's without looking at it. I mean, there was a page and a half of things he was going to compile.
He's also going to look into Connect America funds that we might be eligible for.
Okay.
Which I think is a big piece of this.
Sure.
And I'm happy to attend those town councils. If you guys go to the council meetings, I could join you if you would like me to.
You know, I think it'd be good, Rachel, and if you can speak to the councils on behalf of this,
I think
that'd be great.
Because you have the background, and we as individual commissioners can speak for the commission that we're behind this.
Now we're behind it. Well, spearheading.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
I know I talked with Elena and Joe a week or two ago, and we were planning on coming to you guys on the 21st to talk about this a little bit more. So maybe if we can get those meetings out of the way by the 21st.
Actually, our meeting's on the 16th.
Yeah,
it got changed.
Okay.
It's a Thursday.
Yeah. So that's. That's only a week away, huh?
Yeah. And I'm not sure when the town councils meet. I don't know.
I don't either, but they're coming up here.
It may have to go on March, the first meeting of March.
Well, I will let them both know that we'll push it back a little bit.
Okay.
That'll bite us some more time to get to these meetings.
And then that'll make sure that these guys get to the meetings.
I was kind of planning on getting on Big Piney and Marbleton agendas anyway this month, so I can look into that and email.
Will you just email us when the date and time?
Yes,
we'll just
please.
Meet, show up.
Sure.
Okay.
That'd be great. I think that'd be the best way to approach that, rather than it coming from the commission.
Okay. Right. Sounds good.
It's a joint effort.
Yep.
Which one do you want to go to?
Both. I'll go to both of them.
Both of us will go to both of them.
Okay.
I think one of them might be next. Hopefully not. I won't be able to go next Tuesday if it is, but then I think the Monday after that.
Piney meets on the third Tuesday, I believe. So it should be like phone. The 21st.
Actually, it'd be the 21st, just second Monday.
My computer right here.
That's the 21st.
Is that on one of your days off?
Yeah, it's Saturday, is it?
It is off. I am off that day.
They might, yeah.
But you say you're off from what?
He's off.
He's two bubbles off.
Yeah. His whiskey.
So if you'll do that, that'd be good. I think the meetings are Monday or Tuesday in the evening at 6. That's not a problem.
Yeah. It's been a while since I've been down. I need to go. So I will look into that and let you guys know.
Okay. Right. And then you'll go to Pinedale's with Tom also?
Will you ask to be on the agenda?
Yes.
Okay.
I think so.
Perfect. I think that's the way we can pin them down to an answer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And do the towns have this email ahead of time? Do
no, they but they will.
I don't think they do, but I think we just have a copy.
Make sure they have
they get it in advance. That's okay. A good idea. Mm-hmm. Then they can make a decision that night.
Okay.
Yeah, that's good.
Thank you for coming.
Sure. Thank you guys.
Okay. Sounds good.
We'll
thanks, Rachel.
Talk to you soon.
Perfect.
So, Tom, what are you looking at? He keeps giving me these.
Giving you the signal?
Yeah, I just have my questions.
He's
they're
winking.
Not concerns.
He's
they're
winking
just,
at
so
me.
I understand.
You ready? Okay, go.
I see we got Haskell and Latta flight. What was that? I'm sure that's the trial. But
yep. Yeah.
What did that mean? Flight from where to where?
We have to fly
from
Jim
there to
home
here.
From Florida.
For the subpoena.
For the subpoena.
So he's got to come for the hearing.
Yep.
Where is Haskell at that he has? I thought he was living in Pennsylvania.
No, it's not Haskell. It's the
Haskell
trial.
Oh,
Haskell's
trial. Flight. Okay.
It's Jim Latta.
All right. I'm with you. Smith okay. is the name.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the CenturyLink thing, I just get a kick out of their bill. $22,000 a month, and you can't get anything out of them.
Glad you get a kick out of
it. Well, you know what I'm saying.
I do.
So, Mary, do we know, could we expect we're all subpoenaed for Tuesday? Do we expect we're going to be done on Tuesday?
No.
They're
going to start the trial. They will start with jury selection Tuesday morning.
Tuesday morning. That's and just jury selection.
But we're supposed to be there 9 o'clock Tuesday morning. That's what our subpoena says.
Yeah. And I don't know. I would imagine that we'll get more information from the attorneys when they get here.
They will. We'll get more information that way. I'm suspecting they won't even see us till at the earliest
probably
Wednesday.
Yeah.
At the earliest Wednesday, and then some of us even into Thursday.
Because I'm supposed to leave. I think I leave Thursday.
Yeah.
I've got to get to Salt Lake to get to NACO.
Get you done first.
So I guess hopefully they'll meet with us again and we can kind of let them know where we're at.
If you need Nancy's phone number, I've got that.
Okay. Well, I'm expecting she'll be calling.
Yeah, I would imagine.
She'll be surprised.
But I'm sure
been
they'll
so
probably
long, I
tell
think
us.
They'd want to touch base again with us beforehand.
Yeah. They'll tell us where we are in the order. Because I know the state's got 20 subpoenas out. So.
20.
20.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Temporary water permits. What's that?
For road and bridge. Water that they
For pumping and
for
stations.
Pumping.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. County roads, water hauls. Rio Verde Engineering.
They're doing pump and permits too, not just Rob Doyle.
Oh, okay. I guess the only other one that always comes up to my mind is the Daniel shop. The propane there monthly is. Would it be in our benefit to have Todd go look at that and give us an idea? Because we've spent enough in propane, we could have rebuilt that shop.
Okay.
Or we're working on that.
The firemen have a planning process that they're going through that would include a new shop to go. Yeah.
Oh, I know.
But it's going to be long after we're gone, Andy. So
well, good.
We're
all right. Thank you.
Yeah. It's like a long, long deal. They've
excellent.
Had one meeting.
Good.
So.
Thank you very much.
Yep.
I guess. And we'll talk about you two later.
Where are you going?
And you guys will get to deal with
it. And it'll be all your guys.
We'll talk.
Maybe on your second term, even.
Yeah, that's right. So, did anybody, did you hear anything on the bill about federal lands to state
Oh, that got cubbyholed.
Okay.
It's got it. It's not going anywhere.
That didn't get out of committee.
Didn't get out of committee.
No, B-Bow pulled it.
Okay.
Good. It was kind of his bail.
Oh, he pulled it.
Yeah,
himself.
He did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. Good man. Okay.
Yeah, I kind of knew that was going to happen.
Yeah. It wasn't the right bill. Yeah.
Well, it was totally misunderstood.
Yeah.
Oh,
I thought you said bad news. Yeah. So.
No, bad boys.
Okay. I've got a few to still stamp.
I only got three. It's easy. Legislative dinner in China. We were all there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where do we
see?
It's on the back. Mm-hmm. On the back.
And then the conservation district came in. Mike was in yesterday. It's just their second half funding and the funding for the Forest Collaborative, which was $2,500.
Yes, and so is this. you screw it over here, dude.
I don't have enough to ask.
Yeah, was that like your worship?
I'm kind of sprawling out because my wife won't share at home.
Man,
I got my new travel bag.
Yeah, we tried to do it this year.
Mary, with those ozone action days that come out, did we have any exceedances?
You know, I don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm gonna ask.
Would you find out?
I will. Yeah.
Thank you.
No. We've had three.
Had three action days. I just wanted to know if we had any exceedances.
Well, I know the last action day that we blew. So
did Sweetwater County pay the whole bill?
What ended up happening with legislative dinner, those of us that have been there painfully forever, instead of us standing around for an hour after the dinner's over and everybody shuffling who's going to buy, because we used to trade off, and one of the counties decided they didn't like doing that. So anyway, what they ended up doing is Sweetwater County paid for the whole thing. And they billed all of us.
You
back.
Mean the county that thinks they belong to Utah?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They weren't even the sponsoring county?
Okay. Anyway.
I'm learning.
Yeah, I think last year we stood.
You'll learn
Dale and I stood around for about an hour last year trying to get the bill straightened out, and it was screwed up anyway.
I know here before last, I stood there by you in line at the.
Yeah. It's just
middle
it's.
America trying to
it just sort explodes
out
their heads.
Who
they
pays
can't
what
can't
and how to
it
divide
out.
Up the, the bills. And this is a way easier way to do it.
Yeah, it is.
X amount of people, same meal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, ever. How many people did you have?
This That's right.
Year? It's your share.
Okay, we're adjourning the meeting till 1 o'clock.
Good deal.
You can